Hello, welcome to Tales Over Tales podcast. This is Jordan
and Alicia
and Abigail.
Oh my gosh, all three of us are together.
Yay!
I mean, not in person, sadly.
Well, we are in person.
You and I are, yes. But Abigail sadly is not.
Yes.
I'm across the world, just kidding, just in Pennsylvania.
You are oh so far.
Mm-hmm. Rather far away from Arizona, it's true. So yes, tell listeners, Abigail, you just moved.
I did just move, and I realized how much I hate moving. You know what? That's a lie. I've always known how much I hate moving, and it made me re-remember how much I hate moving, because towards the end, all the little things, everything was organized in the beginning, labeled even, and packed very nicely. Now I just have one giant box filled with miscellaneous items.
Do the people that, like, professionally get paid to move, like, do they even like moving?
I don't know anyone who likes moving.
Yeah, it's true, but it's still good to see your face regardless, and I'm so glad that you're here, Alicia. This is good.
I know, it's so good.
It's gonna be fun.
I love it.
Closure, listeners, Abigail's not drinking with us. She's halfway across the country and she's not even drinking.
Boo.
I know. I'm booing too, because this great state that I've moved to has just informed me that on Sundays, liquor stores are closed. So there's no buying alcohol.
Sunday.
It is the day of Jesus. That's why they're like, not today.
You may not partake in the alcohol today. Although, we can biblically talk about that another time.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, well, does anyone want to get started? Highs, lows? Abigail, obviously you've moved. So how's the new place?
Highs. Finally in the new space. Really nice. Just really getting acclimated to it, but I like the neighborhood. So the view that we have is right across from like this like nature conservatory or something. So we have really lovely sounds in the morning and in the evening. So that's really nice. So that's been a high. Lows is change is pretty difficult for me, even if I initiate the change. So I've been like feeling a little sad leaving my mom's place and everybody I'm used to being around. So I'm just like, it's just me.
Sure, that makes sense. You'll have to send us pictures of your area because mm-hmm. It sounds really beautiful.
Thanks. I will.
Yeah.
But what about you, ladies?
Yeah, go ahead, Alicia.
So I don't actually have any lows. Everything has been going pretty good, which with my life and how much of a train wreck that is, it's pretty surprising. But highs, I started school last week. So that's been going good. I just have easy classes right now, so I'm not too stressed out. And then Jay and I are going to San Diego this week to get our marriage license, and we're going to go look at our little spot that we're getting married at. So I'm super excited. It's going to be a good trip.
Yay.
We're not taking the baby though, so we're kind of like a little, you know, parent anxious when you leave like your child for more than a day.
Is the baby staying with grandparents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it'll be good though. We're still excited to go and get, you know, I think once we have like our marriage license in hand and we see the place, it'll sink more in for us. So yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What about you, ma'am?
Oh gosh. Highs and lows. For the most part, I mean, I would say things have been going relatively well. It's been an adjustment in our household with my husband starting grad school. So I would say that that's probably been our biggest hurdle. You know, our entire relationship up until this point, I've been the one that's been in school. Mm-hmm. So just navigating the role reversal and figuring out how that works, how to best support him, and Even the little things I can do around the house to be encouraging, to be supportive, that I can step up and do different things. Mm-hmm. It's a learning. It's a learning curve. Yeah. It's a work in progress, as we always are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess I would kind of say that's my. Is it ever going to be fall either? Can we talk about that for a second?
I mean, PSL is out right now.
I had my first pumpkin spice latte. It's true. Although, y'all, I made the mistake. Abigail's our East Coast girl here. I went with Dunkin' instead of Starbucks. I did. As a matter of fact, Dunkin' was next to my library. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go for it. The sugar gave me a headache.
Yeah. There's just something about Dunkin' and their coffee that never sits right with me or my stomach. So I don't.
Are you a Starbucks girl, even though you're our East Coast girl, Abby?
I am a Dunkin' Donuts girl through and through.
She looked offended. Did you see that? Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Me and my mom will leave this conversation.
Yeah. But you call it, I'm just saying, if you want something that will spike your blood sugar and have you crash in a moment, yes. Dunkin's your girl.
It's true. It's very true.
Oh, no.
Well, speaking of drinks, though, should we get into what we're drinking? Abigail's boring. She's having a Coca-Cola.
With a lime wedge in it.
Oh,
so please, very tropical.
At least you are sophisticated. This is true. You have not lost your class, Miss Charles. You have not lost your class. I appreciate that about you. No, but to pair with the book that we are covering today, listeners, which is Happy Place by Emily Henry. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But we are drinking a blueberry bourbon margarita. And I gotta tell ya, it's pretty awesome. We will post the recipe. Shout out Christy with a twist on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Y'all should definitely look her up. She did a blackberry bourbon margarita. Unfortunately, we did not have blackberries in this household, but also blueberries are usually in season at the end of the summer, which is around the same time that this book took place. So
everything just kind of fell in place.
It did.
Yeah.
100% fell into place. And my husband, our cocktail consultant for the podcast, as most of you know, suggested instead of making it a blackberry bourbon margarita, we went ahead and went with a blueberry. So
yeah.
It is very, very tasty. That is what we will be drinking.
I do appreciate the twist where instead of adding, what was it, the agave, we got some maple syrup in there, which will explain all of this, but it is delicious and I'm very happy with it.
So, so good.
Delicious.
All right. Well, as we get into our thoughts on the book, should I go ahead and kick us off with the summary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go for it.
All right. When we first meet them, Harriet and Wynne seem like they have it all together. They're your classic, quintessential, seemingly perfect couple. Coming together in college, they were surrounded by a great group of friends. Cleo, Sabrina, Parth, and later Kimmy would join the crew as well. Now, years later, as the group approaches their early 30s, the time for their annual summer trip to Sabrina's family cottage off the coast in Maine has arrived. However, the elephant in the room is that Harriet and Wynne are no longer together, and their friends have no idea that they have decided to call off their engagement. With the exciting announcements of Sabrina and Parth's engagement, Kimmy and Cleo's pregnancy, the whole gang's together again to celebrate. What ensues becomes a summer vacation of delightfully fun, sometimes embarrassing moments, heartfelt conversations, and personal revelations that will either bring the group closer together or tear them apart. Told from then and now timelines, we follow Harriet and Wynne's relational foundation as it is built, threatened to be permanently destroyed, and repaired again. The lessons learned along the way and the memories that are made teach us that the journey to fight for love is worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So initial thoughts on the book. Let's have it, ladies.
You.
They're so hesitant.
Listen.
Why?
Okay. Listen. So I thoroughly enjoyed the book up until the ending, which we'll get into it later. Yeah, we'll get there. But initially, I thought that the book was really good. I cried. Because,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's me. I'm an emotional wreck anyway. But, no, I mean, it was pretty good, though. I just wish that we got more so of a little bit of the timeline, because they're like 5 months had passed. So I'm like, okay, well, what are they doing in that 5 months? Like, what's going on with their lives? Like,
sure.
Why are they just shooting from their engagement ended, and then all of a sudden they have to, you know.
So you didn't like that it was kind of told backwards?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it, but yeah, we'll get more into the ending later, because
we'll get there. What about you, Abigail?
So I agree that, well, actually, no, I have mixed feelings about the book. The beginning was a slow beginning, because I was just like, oh gosh, like another like romance. It was like, oh, they're perfect for one another. You know, like, oh man, they broke up, but they're still in love. And so I was like, ah, it's going to be one of those. So that's how I was feeling going into it. So I had like a skewed perception. And then about like halfway through, when they started getting into the flashbacks about what happened between Wynn and Harriet, which I thought for a long time, like, oh, his name is pronounced Wine. But so no, we'll get wait. Back to that.
His name is Wyndham. Yes. He's called Wynn for short.
Yeah. I got that after they did a thing in the book where they, you know, they clarified how to pronounce his
name. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay. But so I liked hearing about the real life aspect of what happened and their family lives and how different each one's family life was. I thought that was interesting. The ending, it was not it for me. It just wasn't. We'll get there when we get there. Yeah, I agree with Alicia. Like, it wasn't it.
It was a slow start for me too, I'll be completely honest. I was certainly hooked though. I thought that the writing was really good. And I don't know if either of you have seen it. There's this movie from the 80s called The Big Chill. Nope. Guys, it's got Kevin Kline. I can't remember who else is in it, but it's really, really good. And this book gave me Big Chill vibes 100%. If there's listeners out there that know the film that I'm talking about, you will understand completely.
Glenn Close?
Yes, Glenn Close. How
could you forget?
I know.
Jeff Goldblum, isn't it? Nice. Mm-hmm.
Jo Beth Williams. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It is a very, very good movie. Basically, this group of college friends all gets together after the death, after the suicide and death of one of their friends.
Oh, wow.
And it just, the relational aspect of all of it really hit me. Okay. Did anybody else feel like, personality-wise, Wynn and Harriet were so different that they did complement one another well in that way?
Yeah.
Romantically.
I think so. I think because of their personality traits being so opposite. Yeah, I think it, like, they were able to just help balance each other out, like you're saying. And so, but then you can also see where their personalities clash.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, for instance, she grew up in the Midwest suburbs. She wasn't super close to her family. Wynn grew up in Montana, was very, very close to his family. I did. I saw some of those differences, even just culturally and the way that they were raised, like even that kind of played a part in it, I feel like.
Yeah.
What did we think about the fact that they kept the breakup a secret?
Oh, I am taking the mic over. So this is the issue I had with it. It just kind of felt like it wasn't necessary, and we kind of figured out towards the end, which we'll kind of go over all that, but it's like they didn't want to ruin the whole engagement with Sabrina and Parth and whatever that whole thing, but just making it a secret and then them having to play the part that they are together, it was just one of those like romantic things that you always find in a book, and it just gets repetitive after a while too, and it was just I was over it.
Mm-hmm. Very Hallmark, I was gonna say, like oh, we have to keep it a secret, but we're, you know, gonna pretend like we're together for the good of our friend, like, so definitely very Hallmark of it.
And who's the one here that likes the Hallmark films? Okay, only one bed. Come on, let's go. I'm just saying. But, okay, let's transition over. to the friends for a second. Did anybody else feel like Kimmy and Cleo, for instance, that even just the dynamic of everybody was a little odd or, like, a little, like, quirky and weird at first? As you were getting to, like, know all of the players?
I like Chloe Cleo and Kimmy. I didn't really like Sabrina and Parth.
Okay, why?
I didn't like them because I thought they were very childish. You know, just even...
like, they match well with each other. There was just something about the dynamic that they have. It was just kind of like, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, though. It was just very, I can't think of the word right now, but it's just.
Well, but I also think, like, every friend group is going to have its quirks.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those people that stand out, or you're going to have the ones that go along with things. And we can get into kind of the relational element of it here in a little bit too. It took me a little bit to figure out, like, how to decipher. That was where I did appreciate the then and now timelines, I guess, because understanding a little bit more of the history that Harry had, she goes by Harry, had with Sabrina and Cleo. Like, that was really important, and getting to know kind of how Parth and Wynn and then Kimmy all came into it, you know, that was, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I thought that they were very interesting. So what we do learn also, part of the deterioration of Harriet and Wynn's relationship had to do with long distance. Wynn's mother suffered from, MS?
No, it wasn't. Parkinson's.
Parkinson's, thank you. And his dad had unexpectedly passed away shortly after they finished college. Mm-hmm. And the long distance coupled with the grieving, you know, I have done long distance. I know how challenging that is. Abigail is no longer in a long distance relationship, but I know you've done that as well. It is very challenging. And something I wrote down in the notes here too, like, grief changes people, right? And it can be a lot to deal with. So I think that, I don't know, I had a lot of sympathy for Wynn personally when, like, the whole situation was being explained. And even, you know, when he does, it's revealed then, right, that we find out he followed Harriet to San Francisco for medical school, and he never really felt like he fit into San Francisco.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, his home.
It just wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. And I can also understand that too, right? Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Bay Area. I love San Francisco. Give me Montana over San Francisco any day. Like, I could understand. Like, that would just be really hard. And Wynn also had a lot of self-esteem issues. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that, if either of you wanted to address some of that.
Oh, let me. Yes. I think that was kind of...
I'll drink my drink.
Yes, she needs to drink her drink. I had to drink a drink for what I'm about to say here. It was very frustrating to have Wynn, who we, like, know is a very smart person, and just how much he dumbs himself down was very frustrating. And even up until like the very end, he was still doing it. And it's like, no, like you're smart. Like you're doing these things and you're working hard on what, you know, whatever. But I think that was kind of the frustrating part about the way that she wrote his character, was just how much he was just dumbing himself down. It was just kind of frustrating for me.
And that's hard because yeah, it was definitely hard to watch because, mm-hmm. you know, you see all the great characteristics through Harriet's point of view, and you see him in that light, and then having him not see himself in that light
yeah.
was very difficult for most of the book. And then you find out, like, the reason he couldn't see himself in a positive light is because he's been struggling with depression his whole life, and it's been diagnosed. And then you start to feel like that sympathy, like, oh, like, that's why you couldn't, you know, you were, you know, filled with like that shame and embarrassment. And whenever someone would say something that would like hurt his feelings, he'd make a joke, you know, make it into a joke to try to deflect. So, you know, I had a lot of sympathy for Wynn.
As someone that's in the mental health field, Abigail, let me ask you this question then too. Did it bother you that Harriet didn't pick up on that?
Most people don't pick up on depression in other people. Yeah. Like, they just think like, all right, like, just say you like yourself. Okay, that's enough, you know? And so they just think that they're being down on themselves. And, you know, the more you get to know someone, the more you hear like their negative thoughts about themselves. But if you don't know them so well, like, you'll hear it every so often, be like, oh, they just had a bad day. And so, yeah, I don't fault her for not recognizing it, because most times, like, it sounds like he was trying his best to hide it from her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something that you're thinking you have to pick up on your partner for.
Well, and not only was she not able to pick up on it, and she's in a situation that we can certainly give her grace for, let's talk about for a second how hard medical school is and how performance-based Harriet's childhood, her cultural upbringing was. And mm-hmm. that also kind of fed into the, in my opinion, it's just the inability to pick up on any of those mm-hmm. signs, perhaps. And after his dad passes away, right, like, Harriet does kind of acknowledge, yes, there's this depression, there's this issue.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go through it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm here to support him. I'm here to love him through it. If I'm okay, if I'm fine, if I'm doing all of the things that I'm quote unquote supposed to be doing,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not burdening him with it.
Right.
And that was what really got me, as someone that does struggle with codependency, as someone that does struggle with anxiety issues. I went through this with my husband this week, right? Like, how can I be less of a burden to you right now, starting grad school? How can I take more from your plate, if you will, to share the load?
Mm.
But Harriet's load was already full.
Mm.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. Is that making sense? What do you guys think?
I guess for me, I think that, well, Harriet, you know, in struggling with codependency and everything that she's struggling with that we see her character go through, also another thing is people pleasing, which is something very dangerous, because what it does is, because you think you're not a burden, you start to disengage from people emotionally, not only like isolate from them physically, but just emotionally disengage, because you think, you know, kind of like we were saying, oh, like, I'm not going to be an added burden, but, you know, I'm going to make sure you're okay, but not talking about, like, I think the difference between, you know, what you're describing with you and Mark and Harriet and Wynn is that she disengaged. Like, it wasn't that she was trying to take on any more of the burdens. Like, she began to act aloof and not, like, you know, and, you know, not follow through with him. Like, there's a scene where she asks him if he's okay, and then he distracts her, and then later on she realizes that he never asked the question, but she could have still asked the question again. She never followed through. Okay. And so I think that goes with, like, the fear of not wanting to, the anxiety piece, the anxious attachment that she has, and that's what made it hard for her to engage. So here he was disengaging because of his depression, and then she's disengaging because of her anxiety. So, you know, just together, they just weren't present fully.
It was a recipe for disaster, for sure. Yeah. And then, so let's get to the point before we kind of get to the ending, which I know we keep referencing, we'll get there, which we will, but let's talk about even what led up to the breakup. So one of her students, one of her colleagues in her medical school cohort in her residency made a move on her, basically. While Wynn is away, he's in Montana with his mom looking after things. What did we think about this? Like, did we
weasel?
He was a little bit of a weasel. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna go so far to call him a smarmy weasel.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, ish. Yeah. I mean, just because, you know, he referenced like, oh, you're going to stay with him, and you know, when I'm right here, you know, so swarmy weasel.
Okay. Fine, I'll buy it.
Yeah. And like, cause he knew about Wynn, like he hung, like Wynn was out with them. He knew what he was doing. So it's like, oh, why are you choosing him over me? Kind of a thing. So I don't know. It made me angry. And then for the fact that she went and like right away was like, no.
That I wanted to give her props for. Yeah. So she like calls Wynn right away, tells him what happened. And I appreciate your reference, Abigail, your point to disengaging.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. Like, that's exactly what happens. It just, Wynn is like, well, all right then. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's so sad because, you know, like because of his grief, right? He's experienced his grief and he needs to experience that fully, of course. Yet one of the consequences or things that happen is that, yeah, you disengage and things that feel important don't hold that important space anymore. And so then it becomes like, it's just better if I let it go, like let this thing go. So he let go of his relationship. One thing I don't know if we touched on is that they got engaged. And one of the ways that she was disengaging and she was trying not to be a burden to him is that whenever he'd bring up wedding planning, she'd postpone it. She said, oh, we don't have to talk about that right now. So, you know, the message that sends to someone who's experiencing symptoms of depression is like, they interpret it like, oh, she doesn't want me anymore. So, oh, she doesn't want this anymore.
Yeah, that was something that, you know, they had explained really well too when they were kind of referencing that part of it when she kept blowing off the wedding planning. You know, she was just saying that she didn't want to add that extra burden on whatever Wynn was going through, and she didn't want to engage in that. So she didn't realize at the time that with her trying to hold off for the sake of how he's feeling, it was like the total opposite with him, where he thought that she just didn't care. And so it was just one of those things where it's like, no, she cared. She gave a crap, but she just didn't know how to fully engage with that because she was just trying to, you know.
Yeah. Well, then that leads to like the big friendship blow up. So let's talk about that conversation at the end there, because that had me all kinds of all kinds of feels. What about you two?
You can go first, Alicia, if you want to share your thoughts on that.
I need a drink first.
Oh my gosh. No, so basically, listener, like once everybody finally finds out what happened between Harriet and Wynn, there's this big blow up between Sabrina, Cleo, and Harriet, where Sabrina and Cleo, in my opinion, personally, like they have their own friendship dynamic issues, which kind of reminded me of you and I, Abigail. We'll get to that in a moment, but Abigail's like, oh shoot.
I remember.
No, but they had their own friendship stuff to work through, and then they had stuff to work through with Harriet. I mean, did anybody else feel like they called Harriet out on her stuff? Because that hit me. I was like, dang.
I do have to say, though, so it was already frustrating enough that, you know, Harry and Wynn went into this, and they're like, we're just going to hide that we're not together. We're going to act like we're together. The whole cheesy romantic comedy crap. And
it's
then it is, it's very much crap.
But it's not.
But it is.
It's not.
It is. It is. Just like Hallmark movies. I'm sorry. I love you. But it like frustrated me because they knew.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on. Like, because Parth saw the text message.
Parth and Sabrina knew what was going on, but Kimmy and Cleo did not.
Parth and Sabrina knew, yeah. So just that part, like, they knew. And this whole time, they were like, we got to get them back together. So they're going to share the one bed and the whole, just the whole thing. Nah.
Yeah. Okay. The thing that I appreciated Sabrina and Cleo calling Harriet out on was the issue of disengagement, right?
Mm-hmm.
They literally told Harriet, like, the first thing you should have done when the engagement was called off was reach out to us.
Yeah.
Let us know. Mm-hmm. Give us the opportunity to be there for you, right? Yeah. And there are the other issues to get to, which is a side story for Sabrina and Cleo. Basically, Sabrina is very clingy. Sabrina is very needy. Mm-hmm. Sabrina is this extroverted personality, very loud and bright and bubbly. Does she sound like anybody? And Cleo is the more reserved, right? She's introverted. She needs her space. And part of the issue in their friendship that gets brought out as well, they really hadn't found that balance, right? So here's Sabrina, discouraged, frustrated, albeit heartbroken, that Cleo really hasn't put in the effort or put in the work for their friendship. And Cleo's like, I'm kind of doing what I can. I have my life here and I could step up more in these other ways, but every time I do, it's not enough for you, right? You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Abigail?
No, I have no idea what Cleo is going through. I've never been through anything like that myself. You know what? It's definitely growing pains. It's definitely growing pains into like a friendship. I think that through my friendship with you, I see Sabrina's side where she just wanted everybody together. And that she's like, things are very meaningful to her. Like, experiences are very meaningful to her. And that's why it was so important to have this, all these experiences throughout the week, because that's something that she holds on to. She holds on to the experiences she had in her childhood when things were happy.
Well, and so, yeah, side story, her family is selling the cottage. So this is the last opportunity that they have to all be together. That's another factor.
Exactly. And so, yeah, so, you know, Sabrina, I see her point in wanting everyone to be happy, because she's afraid, because last time people weren't happy in her life, like, her life got disrupted and she lost a lot. And so she puts everything on these friendships, but then at the same side, she puts so much on these friendships that she pressures her friends. And that becomes very overwhelming, because she's ignoring like each person's individual personalities when she does that.
You loved the passive aggression that was bleeding through those comments, didn't you?
Yes. Loved it.
Listeners, that's a no. She's shaking her head now.
I loved it.
No, so listener, for a little more background there, like, at one point or another, we find out that Kimmy and Cleo had invited Sabrina and Parth to come visit them on their homestead farm, by the way, which is Abigail Charles's dream. I knew you were living for that as soon as you read that, weren't you?
Yes, loved it. And the whole time I was thinking, I really like Cleo.
I knew it. And that's where, like, when I identified myself in Sabrina, and then as I'm reading Cleo about Cleo, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's totally just, it's a lot of what you and I have gone through in the last few years, right? And so anyway, listener, when the visit or the plans for Sabrina and Parth to come and visit Kimmy and Cleo fall through, Sabrina's just really disappointed by it, right? Like, she's really heartbroken. And I appreciate hearing you say now how you're like, honestly, the way that this was written, it helped me understand that perspective. And I can say the same about Cleo. Mm-hmm. Like, when Cleo comes in and explains her side, like, come on, like, is she expecting the baby, or Kimmy is pregnant with
Cleo?
Cleo is expecting a baby. Mm-hmm. She's got a full farm to take care of. Like, there's things that are going on in her life that I totally could look at and go, Sabrina's not respecting this. Mm-hmm. She's just not. She's not trying to have any grace, any understanding for the changes that are taking place, right? Because change is hard, but the whole point is change is life.
Yeah,
period. Mm-hmm. So, did you want to add any more to that?
Nope, you guys got that covered.
I just, no, because I did it not put you in your feels though, too, Abigail, when you read that scene between the three of them?
Mm-hmm.
And same for you.
Yeah, no, it did. It definitely put me in my feels too. But yeah, no, I definitely understand where you're coming from though with Cleo and Sabrina's like friendship dynamic, because I feel like you and I. And we have that as well.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just because, you know, I know I feel like I could put more forth of an effort sometimes, but my plate gets full sometimes, and, you know, just it's life and things are ever changing and whatnot. But yeah, definitely one of the parts that made me cry the book, by the way. So, yeah.
I know. I know. And it's so hard when you realize, right? Like, that's kind of the premise of some of this book, in my opinion, is mm-hmm. like relationally, when these things get miscommunicated, mm-hmm. right? Or the wires are just crossed. It is challenging, but it's also so important to put in the work mm-hmm. to seek to understand.
Yeah.
When Harriet found out the changes that had happened in Wynn's life after he got on medication for depression, antidepressants, and what a game changer that was for his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, did anybody else just literally physically see the light bulb go off for her?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
When she goes and she, one of her big conversations with Wynn is her going to him and asking, how do you fight? Like, what's the right way to fight? Because she never
asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that, I think it was just such a powerful question because it spoke to how differently they were raised again. So these are the areas that they clash. Mm-hmm. Like, her family, when there was a blowout fight, everybody left and no one spoke to one another. And there was this
tension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And then his family, they fought, you know, they had roles fighting, and Hank, Wynn's father, taught him those roles. And that would have been a great opportunity beforehand for Wynn to teach Harriet, but because of the disengagement, he couldn't.
Yeah. Do you think she would have been willing to learn? I don't know that she would have been able to comprehend what was happening,
to
be honest.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it happened at the right time.
Because with change comes maturity, hopefully, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't until after Wynn was able to take care of himself, right? And he was able to get on antidepressants. He was able to return to Montana, get back to the sense of life giving energy, I guess, that he needed, that he was then able to really help Harriet understand those things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Do we get into the ending? We talked about how we did not like this ending. And I'm,
Abby, you can go ahead first because I'm going to spew right after you.
Okay, all right. So let me tell you about this ending, the things I didn't like.
I'm already out of alcohol.
Dang. This is the part where you guys really, we really need it, because that ending, because we got different views, so.
Basically, listener, to give you background before Abigail shares her thoughts, Harriet expresses that she's not happy in medical school. She's so close to being done with her residency, and she decides to quit, and she's moving to Montana to be with Wynn. And she's been into pottery and all of these different kinds of hobbies that she's going to pursue. Okay, Abigail, go.
Yeah, and so she, you know, she leaves medical school. Like, I think that's, okay, I have two parts to that. I think that's really crazy. I'm gonna be forward with that. I think that's really crazy that she gave up a future. I think that her future could have still been solidified had she had,
sorry,
right? It's like, had she had like waited, you know, it's like she was in her residency, so the next step was like she was it, like that was like she was so
do you
close.
Not take your degree to Montana with you?
Exactly. Like, you know, and if you don't want to be a full-time doctor, being a doctor in a small town, like, that's going to be easy, you know, and you still have time to pursue your pottery and do all these things. And so I think it was very impulsive. I think that her, like, the immigrant parents, like, that I grew up with, like, they instill a lot in me. And so, like, I'm like, ooh, if I had, like, if my mom found out that like she paid for this,
livid,
right? Livid, and she paid for this part of like part, this portion of my education, and then I'm like, oh, I want to give it up to be like to do pottery.
I'm going to leave my residency for a man at that. Okay, listen.
It would be different to me. Let's paint a different picture. You're not cutting it out in medical school. You're not enjoying what you're learning. You haven't even started your residency yet. Mm-hmm. That's different. To me, that's different. Mm-hmm. She had made it all the way. Was she in her last year of residency? It's a 2 or 3 year residency that medical students have to have in the United States, right? I don't even know what the timeline is.
But it's like, but I think she was either, I think she had done a year already, and she was definitely going into her next year.
I'm sorry, what's 1 year?
It was a lot to her.
I'm sorry for someone who said they liked the ending, ma'am.
Okay, and I want listen, hear me out. Wow. But I liked that they ended up together. And I also did not say that I liked the ending. In our notes, all I said was, I don't know how to feel about it. On the one hand, the hopeless romantic in me, right? The idealist in me says, that's absolutely what I want for you, girl. Like, go get it. And then the practical kicks in, right? And this is the side of me that's been through grad school. And I understand an MBA program is not medical school, but you both know how I struggled through that too. Mm-hmm. And I can't see choosing to not necessarily throw that all away, but in essence, throw it all away.
She threw it away.
Oh, the debt. Can we just talk about, like, how are you going to pay off medical school bills, medical school student loans?
Doing pottery.
And you're in pottery. I'm not,
and, like, like, it's one thing too. Okay, so it would be one thing if she, like, finished her residency at least and was, like, done, you know, whatever. And then she left to go with Wynn and live her happy life with pottery. If that's what she really wanted to do, that's fine. But, like, you know, for the fact that she threw away all of that schooling, everything that she's been working for, just to be like, nope, I quit. I'm going to go move for this relationship, which was even, like, so rocky to begin with, if I may add.
I mean, and I acknowledge she wasn't happy. I get that. Mm-hmm. I know she wasn't happy. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts to add about that, Abigail?
Yeah, okay. So this is why I said, like, I get it, but I don't forget it. She threw a lot away. Mm-hmm. What I don't like, what I get is that when you're not in love with what you do, it's really hard to do it. It's really hard to go through the motions. And so you could tell by, like, what, you know, just her experience, she wasn't in love with what she did. Like, she wasn't in love with the idea of being a doctor. I think she just liked, and she explained that she liked that people would be proud of her for pursuing this.
With her parents. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can relate to that too. I get it.
Yes. So wanting to break free and do something different and do something for yourself, I totally get that. So that's why I feel like I understand her. Yet the frustration still was that she was so far into this process, mm-hmm. that, like, it would have made sense to finish it and then decide, like, okay, I have this medical degree, but maybe I won't practice for a while.
And, like, the pottery part of it could have just been a hobby for her.
Initially, it was.
Yeah.
Right? Initially, it was. And then she sees all of Wynn's talent with, like, mm-hmm. his woodworking and whatnot. Yeah. And they really do, like, encourage and support each other, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, she sees how amazing his work is. Yeah. And he gets to see her work as, mm-hmm. you know, a clay artist, a pottery artist. And, like, I get it. Yeah. I do get that.
Yeah. I do, too. But it's, like, throw your whole career away for pottery when that could have just been your hobby. Like, you didn't even have to do the brain surgery or whatever it was that was making you unhappy. You could have found something else with your degree that you would have liked. And then on a Saturday, you could have taken a pottery class and then sold it for $10. Like, it would have been fine.
All I know is Miss Abigail Charles would not have had to be financially invested in my academic career. If this was something that I had done, you would have gotten on a plane across the country and been like, girl, you out your mind.
Yeah, for real. Absolutely not. That's why you tell your, this is why you talk to your friends before you do things.
Same thing Cleo said.
Yeah.
Like, Cleo literally is like, why would y'all have broken up in the first place? You didn't talk to each other. You didn't work through. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like Cleo, basically, that Cleo decided she didn't want to do what she wanted to do. But she, early on, she decided to switch careers. She's like, before I get too far into this, I don't want to do this. Oh, I want to go.
She was going to go for, like, an MFA. No? Mm-hmm.
Wait. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MFA. And then she's like, you know what? No, I'm going to go to this, like, volunteer opportunity. I'm going to go work on this co-op. I'm going to do, this is the future I actually want. And she pursued that. So that makes sense. Before she went to too much schooling, she assessed what she wanted and didn't want. And then she pursued. But that also does with her, the way she was brought up is that she had very supportive parents. That taught her very, like, how to be an independent thinker and gave her encouragement, but also gave her, like, the gift of, like, discernment, like, this, like, being able to make a wise and informed decision about any decision that she makes. So that also has to do with the way she was raised. So I understand that, but, like, the way she did it, she didn't go too far into things before she decided to switch careers.
Yeah. I think it's also an example of what a healthy relationship that Cleo and Kimmy have too, though, because you see how each of them benefit from the differences that they have in their relationship, personality wise. And so even Kimmy playing a part mm-hmm. in that, right? Like, so I do. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's more Emily Henry in my future. I'm just going to say that. You two don't seem as confident. But
it's not that. It's just I need a break from romance for a minute. Like, I need.
And we'll get to what we're reading next yes. in a second. What about for you, Abigail?
I'd read her again, but not like I wouldn't go out of my way to be like, oh, where's this book? And be like, oh, look, there's this book. I know this author.
But I'm also super encouraged to hear that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, should we transition into our TV movie segment?
Yes.
Okay. So this one was like super interesting to me. I just kept envisioning like the chemistry that Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds had in The Proposal when it comes to Harriet and Wynn. So to be perfectly honest, while I may not like physically picture them in the roles, that's honestly all that I thought of. And tell me why nobody but Kerry Washington fits the part of Cleo for me. I just, I don't know. I saw it working out really well. That would be my personal opinion.
Yeah. No. So I kind of went a little bit younger in this kind of thing because I was like, I don't know, but I was thinking of Zoe Deutsch from like The Suite Life on Deck. She was also on CW series The Ringer. I was thinking of her for Harriet. And then I was thinking of like Cole Sprouse or maybe like Will Poulter. I couldn't really decide like which one for when. I don't know. I was thinking like Sabrina Carpenter really like stuck in my head. And then for Cleo, I was thinking of Zendaya. I don't know why, but that like really stuck with
me. Girl. Sabrina or Cleo.
Yeah.
Honestly. Right. I like Zendaya. That's a good one.
And then for Kimmy, I was thinking of like the quirkiness and I thought of Lana Condor from, what was that show that movie she was in? I could see her face.
I don't know. The name's not ringing a bell. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Like
what's her name? Totally. Lana.
Because I literally. Oh, To All the Boys I Love, P.S. I Still Love You, that whole movie series thing. I thought of her as Kimmy because I don't know why, but I feel like they would just totally click together. But those are just my actors and actresses I kind of thought of.
Love it.
Okay. All right. So for me, so for Wynn, I thought Chris Evans.
You hate Chris Evans.
I hate Chris Evans so much.
But does that he would mean fit. You hate Wynn, Abigail?
That's a god. No, he would just fit.
When I saw this, full disclosure, when I saw this on our notes, I was like, wait, what?
It's who I thought of. I was like, maybe Chris Hemsworth. I'm like, no, it has to be Chris Evans. All right, he'll fit.
Oh my god.
So that's one. I swallowed my pride and I said, okay, he could fit in this role.
How did that taste?
Not great. Anyways, moving through. Next, who I thought as his part, Robert Pattinson. I can see that just because of his quickness and just when I think about like her swag, I feel like Robert.
Whoa, reunite Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson for Sabrina and Park?
No. No, I'm only gonna put one actor / actress I can't stand on this list. Okay, so Chris Evans has number one. Jennifer Lawrence.
Wait, I feel like the listeners need to know why you have such a disdain for Chris Evans. Can we talk about this for a second?
Please, I need to know this as well.
You're talking to Captain America lovers over here, so.
Oh, sometimes you don't have to have a reason to not like someone. You just like look at them and you're just like, I don't like you.
Abigail!
There's no reason. Like, I can't be like, oh, he did X, Y, and Z. Every time I look at him, I'm like, okay.
Yikes. It's
okay. On with my list. Jennifer Lawrence as Harriet.
Okay. I'm just trying to picture Chris Evans and Jennifer Lawrence together.
Here's the thing. Because I think that in the beginning, there was so much of this awkwardness with them. Like, because he's self-conscious and she's like an overthinker. Like, I think the awkward chemistry would work in a way. I don't know what it is, but like even like as we like were reading the and be like they work, but I feel like there's this like type of awkwardness between them. So that's why I picked those two, and I feel like they would work well together.
That makes sense.
And then Chloe Bailey as Cleo, but you
Ooh.
gotta Google her. She is, I think she would be a great Cleo.
I'm gonna look her up.
And then my last one is Zooey Deschanel as Kimmy.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I like it. Yeah.
So that's my people.
Love it.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Know.
Well, I'm curious to see the conversation that's going to come up with our next book, but I want you to know that I love you both and I really appreciate you putting up with this book, apparently, as it seems like that's what you felt like you had to do. You had to put up with it.
Yeah.
It was listener pick though, just saying.
Well,
You're right.
we might have to re-review listeners' pick, especially if we're doing romance back to back. I was about ready to strangle the book.
She literally was maybe halfway through the book and she texted me. She was like, "How about we don't do a romance for the next book, okay? How about we take a little break?" I was like, all right. So, which leads us into listener, our next book actually is going to be Before We Were Innocent by Ella Berman. This is going to be the first time, actually, too, that I am listening to a book on Audible for the podcast.
Nice.
So I'm super interested into how to figure out how that's going to work for me because I normally am a physical book reader, but I happen to have the Audible version of this one. So that'll be really interesting. And I think this book has gotten a lot of buzz. I'm curious to read it and to discuss it with you both, see what we.
I'm so excited.
Oh, just happy that it's not a romance.
Yeah, just give me some mystery, give me anything. And it is my fault though, because we did read, what did we read?
Every Summer After.
Yes. And then we read this, and then I read Meet Me at the Lake, which by the way was great. But I think because I did it to myself.
Did you see Carly Fortune's coming out with her third book?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have to get in, then I'm gonna have to read it next year because I'm over it.
It's not coming out until next year
Perfect.
anyway.
That works great. But I think I did it to myself because I did back to back to back with the romance thing. So I just need a break and I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this book.
There we go.
Yay.
There we go. So basically what I also just heard, Abigail, is that whenever we do end up picking a Kristen Hanna book, who is one of my favorite authors, it's probably going to be you and I because Kristen Hanna's very gut-wrenching. And I don't know if poor Alicia could handle it over
I don't know.
She just takes your heart and rips it out and
You've
makes you look
read
at it.
a few books, haven't you?
Yeah, I've read a few, like quite a few of them.
No, so now I'm curious. I need you to give me some book recommendations
I'm
and
pointing to my books over here. Abigail, I've got, of course, well, so I just bought Firefly Lane recently because I watched the pilot episode with Katherine Heigl and I loved it. And I was like, wait, let me not get too far into this TV series before I read the book. But I've got, do I start her on the Four Winds or do I start her on the Great Alone?
Oh no.
Star Great Alone. Out of the two, it has to be Great Alone.
I'm scared.
Just, yeah. They're
Not
rough.
Four Winds.
Be prepared. They're rough. They're great. They're phenomenal. They're wonderful. Would Abigail agree? They're rough.
They're rough, but very good, very well written.
Oh
Like,
my gosh, I love her. And she's coming out with her next one in 2024. I'm so
in
excited.
February, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, but yes, listener, so please rate, review, mm-hmm. let us know what you thought. Are you a fellow Emily Henry romance genre fan like me, or would you rather others like Abigail and Alicia? Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. And again, the next book we're going to be reading is by Ella Berman called Before We Were Innocent.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been a really great discussion. I love you both, ladies. And until next time, stay reading.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
And
stay drinking.
Yes.
Bye.